Welcome. This is The Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show,
yeah.
Right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
It's 102, time to save it. Hot Tub Supercenter, call 315-TUBS or visit jacuzziofsacramento.com. As the show rolls along here, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. No Jason Ross today. He will be on along with Nate Goodyear at 3 o'clock, filling in on the Grant Napier Show. We thank you so much for tuning in. Focal point today, at least to this point, we got a lot to get to. This hour has been centered around Draymond Green, the suspension. If you're, you know what, if I'm Oracle, the people who run Oracle, who run the game ops.
Yes.
The first person I'm calling this weekend is Too Short. Hey, man, what you doing? You want to come hang out at halftime? Because that word LeBron seemed to be none too pleased that Draymond Green called him is perhaps Too Short's favorite word.
Oh, it's his signature.
Why you got to say it like short?
It's his signature.
So I'm saying, you know, Too Short, you're not busy. You live in the Bay Area anyways.
You want home court advantage? Why don't you have him come out before the game?
Right.
Have him come out before the
What's
game.
What's my favorite word? Why you got to say it like short? Oh, man. LeBron's been treated pretty poorly in some places. None more than Cleveland. That his first time back in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
No level of hate will ever match that.
Correct.
But I don't imagine it's going to sound good for him tonight.
Oh, no. Now, I would call the Cleveland situation more hurt than hate. You know what I'm saying? When something hurts you.
It felt hateful.
Because it hurt them. Does that make sense?
Like, can hurt turn to hate?
I don't know.
It felt hateful. Like,
maybe.
I've said this before. I'm big on emotion.
Yeah.
Like, and I love the story that sports often tell, and they can bring all sorts of, you know, emotion they're feeling. They can, you know, make you feel.
Yeah.
That I remember distinctly, and I remember thinking, man, this is – that's the only crowd, the reaction, the gut reaction actually made me feel bad for the player. Like, felt bad for LeBron. I was like, Jesus, this is his home. Like,
oh, yeah.
Of course, they went on to, you know, the Heat went on to win the game by like 80.
Yeah.
But still, and it just made the whole situation worse.
Why do I feel like there was a situation when he first came back to where a fan walked on the court?
That wasn't when he first came back. I think, if I remember correctly, that was towards the end of his stint with Miami, where a guy ran out onto the floor and said, hey, you know, come back, come home.
Right.
And it was a guy LeBron knew.
Oh, okay.
Not like a buddy knew, but like a fan knew. Or
yes.
Like he remembered him or whatever. It may be a fan who showed up in a lot of places,
yes.
So to speak. And yeah, I remember that too. But it wasn't like a threatening situation.
Okay.
That first game, I was worried. There was increased security at that. You know, you talk about hurt.
Right.
I think that hurt turned to venom.
Oh, yeah. And it was led by the owner. I mean, I'm still mad at him. I'm still mad
absolutely.
At Dan Gilbert.
Oh,
like, you took out that full-page letter, man.
Yeah.
That was not cool. And I'm pretty sure LeBron's like, I don't care how much you pay me. And once I get you this ring, man, I'm out.
Mm. You think so?
No, LeBron will probably be like, I'll be back. To buy the team from you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. We asked the questions. We want you to give us some of these answers. We'll open up the phone lines for you. 916-339-1140. 1-800-920-1140.
Three the hard way.
And Mr. Rudolph, since we're talking about LeBron James, I will lead us off. Over the weekend, you know, there was so much talk and mouthing off, whether it was from Ayesha Curry on Twitter, whether it was from Klay Thompson after practice, or whether it's Draymond Green on the floor. There's this overwhelming feeling that players don't respect LeBron James anymore. They certainly don't fear him. They're not afraid of LeBron. Is that a fair assessment? Do opponents no longer fear or respect LeBron James?
Hmm. That's a tough one.
And I'm thinking, like, can you recall? We've heard Larry Bird and how he is a legendary trash talker.
Yep.
And we've heard how Michael Jordan, legendary trash talker. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anyone talking back to either one of them?
Nope.
It feels like everybody has something to say to LeBron James right now.
That seems true. I'm wondering. I feel like there are two reasons for that. Number one, he's never mixed it up. Now,
what do you mean? I know what you, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by mixing it up is he's going to have to punch somebody. Now, here's the thing. Now, listen to me. I'm not advocating and saying you have to do that. What I'm saying is all the players that you mentioned. Now, granted, the game was different back in the 80s and they were much more physical. But every single one of them had to scrap with somebody at one point. Mm-hmm. Dr. J got in a fight with Larry Bird.
Right.
Michael Jordan had to scrap. Like Kobe had to scrap. Barkley scrap. Something happens where you have to stand up and say, hey, I'm not taking that. And so everyone says things like, a lot of things people are saying on social media about whatever the words were that Draymond Green said to LeBron James, right? And one of the things they brought up was that, oh, man, that happens at Rucker Park all the time. Yeah. At Rucker Park, you'll be scrapping when somebody said, actually, at Rucker Park, it'll be a lot worse.
Right. Right.
You'll be lucky if you just go fisticuffs at Rucker Park. Mm-hmm. But the point is that whether you're at Rucker Park or in the NBA, when someone says those things to you, you're like, hey, man, uh-uh. But the thing about it is they don't respect LeBron because he hasn't shown the ability to be like, that's it. That's it. We're going right now. I don't care about a suspension. Mm-hmm. I'm protecting my manhood. And the number two thing, he has zero backup. When he has, see, the Warriors, they know they're one.
Yep.
They are a collective.
Yep.
When they roll 12, 13 deep.
Right.
LeBron's by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go find dudes that want to roll with him. That's part of it right there, too. They're like, okay, you're not going to.
They're all in Miami.
Right. Like, right. You're not going to do anything to me. And number two, you can't beat us.
And that, and maybe that's it, too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't win.
You can't win, so we don't care about you.
You know you can't win,
yes.
And we know you can't win.
So there's no reason to respect
Therefore,
him.
Screw you.
Exactly.
And that was the nice way of putting it.
Three the hard way. Three the hard way.
So I'm going to stay with the NBA Finals, and we talk about the big three, right? In order to have a big three, you have to have a third person. For the Cavaliers, the big three, the third person is Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
For the Golden State Warriors, the big three, the third person is Draymond Green. Now we have a series where the big three, the number three of the big three, is out. Which one do you think will have a greater impact? Kevin Love was gone. They won by 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now Draymond Green.
You don't
gone.
Even have to finish. It's Draymond Green.
Who, you think?
Oh, yeah. It's not even close. I mean, because let's say by some. By the way, I can't ever remember a star player being suspended for a game and everyone still thinks that team is going to win going away.
Yeah,
that's how lopsided this NBA Finals has been. However, to go with your question, let's stretch this out and say somehow, some way, the Cavs get themselves a win tonight.
Okay.
Come game six in Cleveland, Quicken Loans Arena. Is there any question if Draymond Green is going to start?
No.
Okay. So what did we spend all of Friday debating?
Well, now wait, though. He wasn't hurt. He's suspended.
Doesn't matter. But he's back. He's healthy. He's been cleared to play. He'll be cleared to play.
Okay. I feel like
we questioned the whole day, is Kevin Love going to start? Is he even going to play? Will they even bother playing him?
Yeah.
Okay, they're going to play him, but they're not going to start him. Are they going to start him tonight? We still don't know if he's starting tonight.
That's
you can't
point.
Blame that on injury now.
Right.
So it's a fit problem with Kevin Love. Draymond Green, if somehow this game gets this series gets back to Cleveland, he's starting. So it's Draymond Green. It's not even close.
And here's the weird thing about it. Let's just say for some strange reason, a miracle happens. Not only because Cleveland winning today is not a miracle, all right? But somehow a miracle happening and Cleveland winning today.
Miracle-ish.
Then go back to Cleveland game six and winning. And then
maybe that would be a miracle.
And then somehow, through the grace of whatever God there is, they win game seven.
That would be a miracle of resurrection proportions at this point.
But even if that happens, in no situation ever, in my opinion, would the fans blame Draymond Green for getting suspended.
Right.
They would put that onus completely on the NBA and LeBron James. They would never once be like, okay, if our dude wasn't doing the stuff he was doing the whole time, maybe he wouldn't have missed that game and we could have closed him out.
Mm-hmm.
They will never say that.
However, the second this series is over and the Warriors are hosting the trophy,
yep,
we're going to be left to talk about and figure out whether Cleveland can win a championship with LeBron James, mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love on the team.
That's true. And I'm at the point where if they don't win, especially if they lose tonight,
yeah,
it's all on LBJ. It's all on you, player. If they don't win, all on you. You got everything you wanted. You got the guys around you. They're relatively healthy, and you still came in here and laid an egg.
That'd be a great question, too. What's next?
Ooh, we'll deal with that.
Yeah, probably tomorrow.
Exactly.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. We also got the Weekend in Baseball coming up. Join Sports 1140 at Folsom Diesel Works Tuesday from 1 to 2, 1126 Sibley Street in Folsom. With any oil or filter change, score two tickets to the Folsom Rodeo. Take care of your truck's overall performance with Folsom Diesel Works. Check them out at FolsomDieselWorks.com. As the lowdown continues, that's Ken Rudolph. I'm Damian Barling. Jason Ross sadly isn't here today. Well, he's not with us today, but he'll be here shortly. Him and Nate Goodyear are filling in for Grant at 3 o'clock. Obviously, the conversation, and to everyone who texts 44-1140, I apologize for not getting back to you as swiftly as normal when Jason's not here. Ken and I are doing a lot more work here during the commercial break.
Well, you are.
I wasn't going to put it like that.
I was just going to say,
you know, we did get a good text in here that relates to the Aisha Curry tweet that says, what she is doing equates to your woman talking mess to a dude at the club, then looks at you like, go handle it.
That's exactly. And what you going to do?
Right.
You can't do nothing.
Right. You're stuck. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hey, Tom, thank you so much for calling. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, I just want to tell you it's going to be a great game tonight. Warriors going to take it. But it's ridiculous. LeBron is the only person I've ever heard whine and complain about someone doing some trash talking on the court. It's just LeBron, and then today he has the audacity to say he's taking the high road. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all heard that.
No, we heard it. We played it.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that, man. And it's just unbelievable, but you know what? The Warriors are going to take it tonight, and it's going to be great to see Green come into the arena after the game and celebrate with this team. So Warriors in five.
Tom, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, my man. You know, that's going to be one of the stranger things to follow tonight. Because now the Giants are getting in on the act. The San Francisco Giants invited Draymond Green to their baseball game because clearly the Giants don't realize how far away AT&T Park is from Oracle Arena.
No, they offered him the helicopter too, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, now it makes a lot more sense.
If they did, yeah, that would help.
Because right now that invite makes no sense. The idea, obviously, is Draymond Green is going to be at the A's game across the parking lot.
Right.
And watching the game inside a suite, and as soon as things progress to where the Warriors are in a position to win, he'll start to make his way over to the arena. Now,
that's still a 30-minute trip to get out of the baseball stadium and get across the parking lot.
He's going to have some sort of golf cart,
okay,
Segway, and I have to imagine about 47 cameras following him. And that's what as he just noted, it's going to be great to see him walk in. I'm curious, are they going to do like live cut-ins like over at the baseball stadium and show Draymond Green, like, in the suite watching the game? Are they going to do, like, a double screen?
They have to. It's a home game for them.
And then imagine the Warriors are up 20.
Which is totally possible.
Right. Yeah, you stretch your imagination to believe that's possible. And with 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left, mm-hmm. you start to get the camera shot of the walkover.
But he can't be in there when the game's being played.
Yeah, as soon as the buzzer goes
off. Then he can come in the building or he can come on the court?
In the building.
Okay.
As soon as the buzzer goes off, you watch him sprint from whatever entrance he's at.
Right.
Right onto the court.
I would hope that if he has to stay outside, they've got a camera and there are fans with him, and let him celebrate with the fans first. They're right there. Why not? And then you get to come on inside. At least give them some high fives and whatnot, and then come on inside in the arena.
So weird.
Well, they can turn the lights out, too. It'd be awesome. Turn the lights out.
And then, like, Draymond Green appears like a superhero?
Yeah, man. Dude, dramatic. Come on. You only do this once.
Man, you can't. You're going to treat Draymond Green like a superhero?
Dude, one time this is going to happen. This is the only time it's going to happen in his
life. You swipe at the king's scepter, and you get suspended for it. And yeah. You want to treat him like a conquering hero when he returns.
I don't want to, but I'm pretty sure the Golden State Warriors want to. And they should. I'm all about drama for TV, man. Let's make it happen. Build it up. Build it up.
Unbelievable. If you're LeBron, do you wait? You talk about gaining some respect. Do you wait for Draymond Green to get the floor? You talk about, you know, LeBron's got to do something physical to start getting some of that respect back.
Right.
Does he wait for Draymond Green to get back to the floor and try to get some of that respect back?
And then chin check him?
Bump shoulders with him?
No, that's going to be interesting because here's the thing. Think about this possible scenario.
Okay.
Cleveland is losing by 20, right? So he's miserable right now, obviously. All right? Crowd's going crazy. Then they show the camera shot of Draymond Green outside, right? Now get this.
Mm-hmm.
Game's over, right? He gets to come inside. All the celebration. Now, for the most part, players do congratulate each other like, hey, man, all right, you know, because there's only 12 of you. Does he shake his hand? He said he's a high road guy, right? Remember, he's a high road guy.
Mm-hmm.
Always takes the high road.
I don't think so.
No?
Here's the thing. They have a weird relationship off the floor. And that website that Draymond Green does all those videos for, it's LeBron's website.
Oh.
Is it called Uninterrupted? That's LeBron's website. Draymond Green's one of the focal points of that website right now. He does work with Rich Paul, or not Rich Paul, Maverick Carter, LeBron's guy, almost daily.
So now you made me think this is all part of a conspiracy.
Oh, don't you start.
Now
don't,
you got me thinking LeBron's
start.
Like, hey, man, let's give him something to talk about. Let's get this website pumping.
Don't start with the conspiracies. All There's right. enough of them out there about how the league is favoring LeBron and they want to extend the series. There's enough of those out there without you adding on a website conspiracy to it.
And they talk about like it's brand new. The league has always favored players. That's always how it's going to be. What are you talking about?
Well, here's Andrew Bogut. There's a strategy outside the court with coaches and GMs and all that kind of stuff. They played their strategy very, very well. They did what they had to do, and they got one of our guys out. That's Andrew Bogut after the Draymond Green suspension yesterday.
All right, I'm going to say this again, and I hope all the Warriors fans hear me. Your team does not have any class. Your team is not acting like a champion. Your team has not acted like a champion all year. They won the championship last year, and what they do, they whine about the fact that other teams legitimately question whether they earned the championship because they played teams that weren't at full strength. Those are legitimate questions. But you still won the championship, so accept that and move on. But they came back, and I understand you have to have a chip on your shoulder if you want to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find something. I get that completely. So they say, hey, we've been disrespected. People don't think we're for real. Let's go back and show them. Great. You came back and did that this year. But then it's just like when you're asked questions about certain things, you've got a player that's doing things that are completely unnecessary. And you're thinking he's never going to get punished. He gets punished, and now you're blaming everybody else.
Right.
Just take it and move on. I'd much rather you say, okay, not going to matter. We're going to win anyway. I'd rather you be super cocky than whine and complain and point fingers at some other guy. You're the better team. Go out there and act like it. And Warriors fans, show class tonight.
I love this tweet from Lewis Reddick, who is far and away my favorite NFL analyst. It has been said that LeBron could be a physically dominant football player / tight end at the highest level. I want to see that tonight. Hashtag NBA Finals.
Aha. Just like we were saying, he needs to come out and physically dominate the game on both ends of the court for 40 minutes. He can't play 48. That's unnecessary. 40 minutes is good.
You can't play that level
for 48 minutes.
Right, I mean, there's a certain level. There's a certain point where you push yourself and you get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't play 48 minutes at that level. And if it's a close game, once you get into those final 2, 3, 4 minutes, he's going to have some problems.
Yeah, and that's the problem. When it's a close game, there's so many players on that Warriors team that can make a shot, any shot from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They only have, what, maybe 2.5 of those people on the Cavs, if that.
2.5?
Because I'm counting J.R. Reed as a quarter. And
J.R. Smith, yeah.
I mean, sorry, yeah. J.R. Smith is a quarter, and Kevin Love is a quarter.
So they make the half?
Yes.
There you go. The Giants had a fun night last night.
The pitch. Bell swings. There's a high drive deep into right center. Looking up. Adios! Pelota! A two-run homer for Brandon Belt. And it is 2-0 Giants.
That was in the sixth. That was all they needed.
And that wasn't the most impressive thing that happened. Jake Peavy.
Well, yeah, that was, yeah, how about that?
Come on.
Jake Peavy got his 150th win, by the way. He's only 3-6 on the year.
Yeah, there you go.
But that third one was good for win number 150.
And he had a great outing. Fantastic.
He did, yeah.
Outing. Man, their pitching staff is really, really coming along. They just got to get the back end of that bullpen and keep them kind of squared away. But, man, the starting rotation, good for them.
A's not so much.
Well, they won a game. A game.
That was the really bad lead-in I gave to the Cincinnati Reds game on Friday as we were signing off right around 3:30. Like, hey, Cincinnati's not very good. Could be a good weekend for, you know, Oakland. And I think your response was, well, the downside to that is Cincinnati's not very good. So if you lose the weekend, it doesn't turn out too well. Well, they lost the weekend.
That's a shame.
They lost the weekend, but they did have a good Sunday. Got a 6-1 win yesterday. They're 26-36 on the year, though.
A lot of teams are struggling. A lot of teams are struggling right now. It's already haves and have-nots.
Are your Angels?
We're like a game ahead of the A's. Like, we're both horrible right now.
And Trout got hurt yesterday. He took
in the head, but he said he's going to play today.
I thought he took one on the thumb.
I'm sorry, hand. I'm sorry, not
yeah,
hand.
Yeah,
I thought that was hand.
I've never seen a ball hit so perfectly on one finger before. A thumb.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can only imagine how bad that hurt.
And they say he's going to play, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, the bigger development with the Angels, you know who's going to pitch for them this week?
Timmy?
Timmy!
Timmy's going to pitch this week?
Timmy!
Oh, boy.
Timmy!
You know, he could make a lot of teams look bad.
If he's on, I mean, he had a very dominant start in AAA. He went out there and did what he does, and his stuff was good and crisp, and he had command of all of his pitches. He's in good shape. The hips, everything's fine. And I can't think of any other team outside of maybe the A's that need his pitching more than the Angels. Their rotation is horrible. Horrible.
I think the A's could use my pitching. And I can't pitch, but they could use my help.
I don't know if pitching is their issue or they're not scoring runs on a consistent. It's just everything is their issue.
They're
right
just
now.
All over the place.
Right? Everything.
Like, they could get. I mean, there was a stretch where their starting pitchers couldn't get out of the third inning. They couldn't get out of the fourth inning.
They can't stay healthy either. Every single pitcher in the rotation has spent at least some time on the disabled list this season. So, I mean, you're pulling guys from AAA bullpens. You're pulling guys from AA now to come in. It's a disaster.
Yeah, didn't Rich Hill just go on the DL?
Yep. Yeah. Our best pitcher was Rich Hill, and goodbye, Rich.
Sonny Gray just not at all himself. I feel like Sonny Gray just wants to get out of there. I feel like he wants to get out of there.
Can you blame him?
Kind of get a new lease, get a new start, get a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah.
But
can't blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're constantly flipping and changing roster spots, and it shows now because – suppose you do get a pitcher out of the fourth inning and you start to get into the fifth, sixth inning, but unfortunately you only got three hits from your offense.
Yeah.
So you're in that situation where you're pitching well or your starters are pitching well, but you're not getting any runs. And then the flip side of that is you're not pitching well, you're pitching terribly, and you end up going down 6-0.
Exactly. It's one thing or the other for them. Either they're not scoring runs or not playing good solid defense, they're not good in good pitching, they're not good in good activity from their bullpen. Everything.
But if you're Sonny Gray, you want to pitch really well this season because you want to get paid somewhere else because this is his contract year too. So he's losing value the more he struggles, even if he does want to leave.
I know what you're saying in theory, but he's not.
You're right.
He's so young, and he's already shown what he can do. There's tons of teams. The Yankees will give him $100 million.
Right. Like, and the argument will be, well, he was on the A's.
Exactly.
We'll make him better here. We mentioned, did Magic Johnson's tweets get him in trouble? We got that coming up here before the top of the hour. Also, wonderful OJ documentary. We'll share our thoughts on that. Plus, an update on the situation at Baylor coming up here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Ken Rudolph, Danby Barling here on the Lowdown. No Jason Ross today. He'll be on at 3 o'clock with Nick Goodyear filling in for Grant. It's 1:35. Time to save at Hot Tub Supercenter. Call 315-TUBS or visit jacuzziofsacramento.com. Been talking a great deal about Draymond Green, about the game tonight, about the Cavs, LeBron, the Warriors. There's a situation that this show has talked about in depth. over the course of the last few weeks, and that's the Baylor football situation. And when we reported that Art Briles had been fired, we were careful to use the term that was being reported, and that was suspended with the intent of firing.
Yes.
Well, it appears that intent may not be there anymore.
Wait a minute, what?
The board is having a meeting tonight to talk about reinstating Art Briles as the head coach after a lengthy suspension that has been guessed to be about around a year.
What?
That right there, whether he gets reinstated or not, should tell you everything you need to know about college athletics.
Okay, so wait, though.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and temper my outrage here for a moment and try to see it from their perspective.
Okay.
Through the course of their investigation, have they somehow determined that it's the athletic director, who, by the way, was not fired, he was disciplined, and the chancellor, school president, Mr. Starr, they're saying that those individuals are more responsible than the head coach? And if they are, okay, as far as the cover-up is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And law enforcement, they're probably going to throw them under the bus as well. And when the way they see it, you got to think about this, is where it's dangerous. That school was nothing until he showed up.
It's true.
Absolutely nothing.
Which goes back to what I said. Tells you everything you need to know about college athletics.
But they're saying, okay, if we shore up everything else on the administrative side, if we, once again, it took them a long time to hire the actual Title IX representative.
Right.
So they've taken care of that.
Years after every other university did.
Exactly. They're like, okay, we've taken care of that. We'll put some things in place that will help put a little system in place, but we still need that recruiting machine. Because if we don't have that recruiting machine, our school is done. Because they're not going to be able to get another coach of that stature to come in there after this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what they're thinking. So
I'm sure it's exactly what they're thinking.
So let's just go ahead and suspend him for a year. They'll probably cut it short and bring him back,
mm-hmm,
and pick up where they left off. Some self-imposed sanctions, right?
Self-imposed sanctions.
Right? Is this the way to get over it?
That's the way they do it.
That's the way you do it. You go to the NCAA and say, hey, look, we already hit ourselves. We already got ourselves. So you don't have to do anything now.
This is the same university, by the way, that told Brittany Griner for 4 years, wear a long sleeve shirt underneath your jersey. So
you can't see the tattoos.
Don't want to see your tattoos.
Yep.
And don't ever, ever, ever discuss your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to acknowledge that you're a gay woman here.
Well, you know, it is in Texas.
But Baylor's a religious school.
Did you hear?
Right, your daughter's not safe there, by the way.
By the way.
Your daughter may not be safe there.
Right.
And if something happens to her, the law enforcement won't help her. But if you got tattoos there, don't show them. And if you're gay, don't talk about it.
That is a bastion of hypocrisy there. Bless their hearts.
We had a blast with the high flyer, Henry Turner, joining us on Friday. He's here now. HT, what's going on, man?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, I just called to let y'all know, I told y'all while I was in studio, I said Steph was going to come out Steph Curry-ish, and the Warriors were going to win by at least 10. I beat the spread. They won by 11. I'm about to get in my car right now and drive on down to Oakland. I'm about to witness the two-time champion Golden State Warriors bring this thing home tonight.
Well, let me ask you this, Henry, because you're talking about Steph Curry and you're talking about what he came out and did the other day. Didn't a lot of those points come in garbage time? Was he really the guy that you wanted him to be? Was he really Steph Curry? Was he really the guy that you predicted would come back?
You know, I thought he did set a precedent. Of course, Golden State is a team. But whenever you come out and you get 30-plus points, that's 30-plus, man. It's not like, you know, oh, he got him in garbage time. No, this is game four of the finals, that a game you need and a game that you have to have in order to go back and close this thing out in five.
Okay, look here, Henry. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to set your fandom aside, and I need to talk to you as a basketball player and a basketball player only. All right?
Okay. Here we go.
No. My question is, if you played against LeBron or played on LeBron's team, what does he need to do to make something happen tonight? Do you feel like he has imposed his will enough? Do you feel like he has been physically assertive enough in this series? Can he be more dominant physically?
In order for them to win, he's going to have to be. And I think his main obstacle is out tonight. So if LeBron doesn't come out and have a Superman game tonight against whoever else they're going to put in that spot, because Draymond Green is not going to back down from LeBron James. He's not scared of LeBron James. We've seen that. He's not scared of anybody in the league. So the main thing about it is that LeBron James is going to have to come out and play Superman tonight because there is no kryptonite on the floor in Draymond Green. Get that? Kryptonite,
yes,
Green,
sir.
It's all come together.
I get it.
Oh, my goodness.
I see what you did there.
He worked all night on that one, ladies and gentlemen. The High Flyer, Henry Turner, we appreciate you, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, baby.
HT, man. Fun, dude, that dude is a mess.
I like that.
He did call 10, though. I do recall that.
Oh, absolutely.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. But he is also a Warriors supporter.
He likes the Warriors a little bit.
Right? Then again, you can't really take much from my comments either because I'm not really a big fan of the Warriors.
I noticed, and it seems to have gotten progressively worse as the playoffs have gone on.
Yeah.
You seem to have become like a little more irritated. Are they becoming hateable? I know this was a question we posed like months ago. Like, right. are they becoming hateable?
Well, anytime you win, you're going to be hated, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I'm a big game hunter. What I mean by that is I don't mess with you unless you're a winner. Like, if you're a losing team, I'm not going to pick on a losing team. What fun is that?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the winner, I'm going to go pull your cape. I'll mess with you. I'll be your Huckleberry all day long. So I think it's because they're winning, you're automatically going to be hated. You're winning. You broke the record of the much respected 1996 Chicago Bulls and mm-hmm. the Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be some haters on that, still
sure.
trying to test you to see exactly what you're made of. And then, like I said, they don't exhibit the class that I would like to see from a champion. And I think I'm just waiting for that to happen.
It's 1:42, time to save at Hot Tub Supercenter. Call 315-TUBS or visit jacuzziofsacramento.com. Did Magic Johnson's tweets get him in trouble? We got that story coming up next. That's right, no Jason Ross today. He'll be on at 3 o'clock filling in for Grant Napier.
What's up?
We have fun at the expense of our friend Irvin.
Yes,
every Wednesday we do a segment called Tweets from Magic Johnson, and it's a fun, lighthearted segment. And he's really been on a roll over the course of the last few days, but it was announced yesterday that Magic, apparently by he requested to the Los Angeles Lakers that he be removed as an honorary Lakers vice president. Now, the reason for that, I think, was hidden somewhere in the press release that the Los Angeles Lakers put out. And I'll point out a specific part of it to you that reads, he is not an advisor or a consultant, and his opinions, comments, and social media posts are solely his and do not represent or reflect those of Lakers ownership or management. Hopefully, this will eliminate any confusion over this issue in the future.
Now, I hadn't seen a tweet from Irvin Magic Johnson regarding the Lakers in quite some time.
Yeah, it's been a while,
it's been a while.
They're there. And I think specifically what he's referring to, or actually I should rephrase that, what the Lakers are referring to in this situation is there have been a number of occasions, especially as the season winds down, or I'm sure it'll happen again as the draft approaches, as Magic will make a push for, man, he'll have some crazy tweet that says the Lakers need to go after Kevin Durant, which in a nutshell is the beauty of Magic Johnson's tweets.
Absolutely.
Is when he tweets, you know, the Lakers should sign LeBron James and Kevin Durant.
I think he did that. He said go after them.
He said go after them both.
Pursue them both, yes.
He said LeBron is going to re-sign in Cleveland, but if I'm the Lakers, I make the call. I call his agent. I see what I can do. That's all fine and well, but when you have a title of vice president, whether it's honorary or it's legitimate, you can't do things like that. And I think that caught a lot of people's attention, like, that's tampering, isn't it?
And it's weird because I never even considered it because I did not know he still retained that.
Because you don't
title.
Take Magic Johnson seriously?
No,
okay. That's
because
it
was a huge story when he had to divest completely financially from the Lakers because he wanted to put his money into the Dodgers.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, then he's no longer affiliated with that basketball team anymore, even though he's always going to be associated with that basketball team because that's what, you know, it's the only team he ever played for. But I didn't know he had the honorary title of consultant or vice president. What's up?
I'm so sorry. I just read Magic's last tweet.
I told you. I read that one to you earlier. It was awesome.
I thought you made that up.
No, I was reading that for real. I was like, you mean this tweet?
If Cleveland wins tonight, I think it will be a 7-game series. Thanks, Magic.
There was another one.
Yeah, that was just a wow. I just pulled it up because I wanted to go specifically to the Kevin Durant tweets where he may have gotten himself into, or it may have been suggested to him that, hey, maybe you shouldn't tweet about that or whatever. This could be considered tampering, or, you know, the ones that directly resulted in him whether requesting to have that honorary title removed or the Lakers going to him saying, hey, this is creating some confusion. We should remove this title from your name.
Exactly. I'm wondering how that's going to affect him and the Lakers as they go down the line, as they continue to move forward, especially with the draft and the beginning of next year, because Magic is just synonymous with Lakers.
Right.
When he talks, you feel like he speaks either for the Lakers or he has the ability to influence the Lakers. And even if he doesn't have a title, you still feel like he can call the Buss family anytime he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, you know what you need to do.
Right.
So even if they do remove that title, you still feel like he's still a part of that franchise.
How amazing was the part one of the OJ documentary that aired Saturday night?
Man, it was so good. I watched it twice, brother.
So did I.
Did you?
I did. I did watch it twice because on Saturday night I was kind of like, I was trying like really hard to pay attention, and I kind of started to doze off at points. And,
right.
And then I was just like, well, I'm not doing anything on Sunday. I just rewatched the whole thing the next morning. I thought it was fantastic.
It was so good for so many reasons. I mean, obviously, so much of the details in the backstory, for some reason, it's amazing that we weren't privy to all of this stuff.
The stuff about his dad.
The stuff about his dad. I was like, what the? How do we not know this?
Yeah.
Or maybe, I'm sure it was out there. It's
never talked. I mean, I don't know why. OJ's dad is gay. I don't know how that would be worked into any conversation, but it just seems like something you would know, even if you right. went like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Like, it was just like, whoa, I'd never heard that before.
And we're not talking about anything about it being negative at all. We're
no,
just talking
it's
about
just,
this.
Normally you hear those things.
Right, that contributes to how he develops, how he goes about changing his entire persona.
Mm-hmm.
He makes up his own, and it's not lies. He just builds his life the way he wants it to be. He creates whatever he wanted to create, and part of it was eliminating that from people knowing. And I never knew about it, but there were so many things that were great about it, and I took the opportunity to watch it with my wife, who is 9 years younger than I am. And when they get to the...
Good for you.
When they get to, like, the middle of it, and they start going to when what he does on the football field,
mm-hmm.
and he gets to Buffalo. And I say to my wife, I'm like, babe, you got to watch this. This is where he becomes my dude. This is me as a kid. This is what I see. Watch how pretty he is when he runs. Baby is pretty. Just watch him.
Mm-hmm.
And even she could get, she's like, he just changed directions there. Like he went. I'm like, yeah, babe.
And can I tell you what's funny about hearing about him then?
Yeah.
And how you talked about how he tried to separate himself from certain things.
Yeah.
One of the things he tried to separate himself from was his blackness.
Absolutely. Distinctly.
And that's knowing you the way that I do now. That surprises me that you enjoyed
I didn't know
him
that.
So
I'm
much.
A kid, right? I'm a kid. I don't know anything.
Did you learn that later? Like, were
I
you
didn't learn any of this like
until recently?
Until until 94.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not really paying attention to OJ once he stops playing.
Sure.
Once he starts doing Naked Gun, he's not my OJ anymore.
Right.
So I don't care what he does at that point, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes complete sense.
I don't know anything about that dude.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, my dude's the guy in 1973.
Right.
74, 75, that's my dude.
Mm-hmm.
This dude you're watching, I don't know who this is. So once I found out about those things, I'm like, oh. And now this documentary is even bringing more things to light. I'm like,
right.
Oh, my goodness. And every time I see Marguerite, I'm like, oh, man.
Like the interview clip when
they
ask him specifically about what's been termed the Ali Summit, but it's the famous picture we see of Muhammad Ali with
Bill Russell and Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right, Lou Alcindor. Yeah, all those guys. And they ask him specifically about that and everything that went on with that summit. And he's like, oh, well, that's just not – I just don't care to comment on that.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
But he did say a reason why. In part of that documentary, he was talking about how he was a part of that earlier. And he felt like they used him. And he had said, he's like, you know, a lot of guys were a part of that, and I was as well. And we felt like we were used. And for a lot of guys, it hurt them going forward. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about being part of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And more of a I guess, more of an aggressive civil rights movement. And he's like, that hurt those guys going down the line.
The Stanley Cup is over. Draymond Green is suspended. What will happen tonight? We got all of that coming up in the third and final hour of the Lowdown next.